We shall now move on and look at something that we call the 50% rule. This is a slightly strained rule introduced in 1988 as a means of giving rebasing relief for assets acquired before March 1982 for which rollover relief is claimed. The 50% rule applies if three specific conditions have been satisfied. First, the company must have acquired a qualifying asset before March 1982. That qualifying asset must have been sold by the company between March 1982 and April 1988. Having made the disposal, the company must have claimed rollover relief so that all or part of the original gain is rolled over and reduces the base cost of the replacement asset. If all three conditions are satisfied, the legislation tells us that the gain rolled over against the base cost of the replacement asset is not the whole of the original gain, but is only 50% of that gain. By rolling over a smaller amount, we are increasing the base cost of the replacement asset and thereby reducing the eventual capital gain when the replacement asset is sold. Let us illustrate how the 50% rule works by working through an example. Let us assume that a company bought a building, here we have called this building number 1, for £20,000 in June 1980. The company sells the building for £50,000 in May 1986. The gain is calculated by taking proceeds less cost, less indexation allowance. Here indexation accrues between March 1982 and the date of sale, i.e. May 1986. Note that in calculating this capital gain, we have not deducted the March 1982 value instead of cost, because the rebasing rules were not introduced until April 1988. In June 1986, the company reinvested the proceeds in acquiring a replacement asset. Here we have called this building number 2. The second building cost £80,000. You will see here that the whole of the proceeds from the first disposal have been reinvested in acquiring a replacement asset. This means that the whole of the gain of £25,360 can be rolled over. However, because we have a pre-1982 asset, which was sold between 1982 and 1988, and a rollover relief claim has been made, what is rolled over is not all of the gain of £25,360, but only 50% of it. The gain rolled over against the base cost of building number 2 is therefore £12,680. The base cost of building number 2 is therefore £67,320. Building number 2 is sold for £200,000 in September 2010. Building number 2 is treated as having been bought in June 1986 for its revised base cost of £67,320. Indexation runs from June 1986 until September 2010, giving a gain of £43,077. This 50% rule can often be difficult to spot. Remember that only 50% of the gain will be rolled over, where a pre-1982 asset is sold between 1982 and 1988, and the gain deferred. Next in this session, a brief word about rollover relief and groups of companies. A group of companies is regarded as one unit for rollover relief purposes. This means that if one company in a group, here we will call it Company A, sells an asset, and a replacement asset is acquired by another company in the same group, i.e. Company B, the gain made by Company A can be rolled over and deducted from the base cost of the asset in Company B. For capital gains purposes, a group of companies will exist, in very simple terms, where one company owns at least 75% of the shares of another. Finally, let us consider disposals of substantial shareholdings. From the 1st of April 2002,
disposals by a company of substantial shareholdings in other companies will be exempt from tax. The rules apply to shareholdings in both UK resident and non-resident companies. A substantial shareholding is defined as 10% or more of a company's ordinary share capital. The ordinary shares held must also give entitlement to at least 10% of the company's distributable profits and 10% of assets on a winding up. For these purposes, the holdings of other group members are taken into account. To qualify for the exemption, the following conditions apply. 1. A substantial shareholding must have been held for at least 12 months in a period beginning not later than 2 years before the sale takes place. This enables part disposals to qualify, where the original disposal brings the remaining holding below 10%. As soon as a company's shareholding falls below 10%, the company then has a year to sell their remaining shares, if it wants to secure exemption on these remaining shares. 2. The investing company must either be a sole trading company or the member of a trading group. 3. The shares must be in a qualifying company, which is defined as a trading company or a member of a trading group. Conditions 2 and 3 must apply in the latest 12-month period in which the substantial shareholding test has been satisfied, ending with the time of the disposal and immediately following the disposal. That concludes this lecture on corporate capital gains.